Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I'll give Miss Lisa Knowles of the Brown Singers a round of applause.
It's that time of the year at the place where God blesses his people. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church family, located 1210 M.W. Harrison Street, Leesville, Louisiana, where the senior pastor, the Reverend Joseph L. Garner, presents its annual Historical Family and Friends Day as a night of gospel worship, taking place Saturday, May 16, 2015 at 6:30 p.m. at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. This year's gospel recording artists are the Stellar Award winners Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers, live in concert, singing all of your gospel favorites. longing and praying for a place to get your praise on, shout, stomp your feet, or clap your hands, or just say thank you, Lord, then save the date. Saturday, May 16th, 2015 at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church Family Gospel Night featuring gospel artist Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers. Open at 6:30 p.m. at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street, Leesville, Louisiana. General admission, $20. For ticket and additional information, please phone 337-238-1779. That's 337-238-1779. This has been another Pleasant Hill Church production. Believe.
Ask that you would turn with us to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 7. Oh, he is the center of my joy. I better tell you that if he's not the center of your joy, you better make him the center of your joy. I know you love your boo and all that, but your boo can't do for you what Jesus can do. Do I have a witness here? Anybody ever got sick enough and you found out that when in the time of sickness you need a savior that's a healer? His name is Jesus. He is the center of my joy. Amen. Thank you, choir. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 7. There you will find these words. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 7. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and breathe in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came back together, bone to his bone. And I want to ask you to think with me this morning in terms of a subject: the hand of the Lord is on you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the hand of the Lord is on you. Somebody ought to be able to rejoice about that already. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Where you are may be your situation, but it is not your destination. Even though your possibilities have perished, your dreams have been dismantled, your hopes have been handcuffed, even though your advance appears to have been aborted, that may be your situation, but it is not your destination. I believe I have some witnesses here today who can testify that life can deal us a bad hand. that leaves us feeling helpless, hopeless, and on the verge of giving up and tempted to view our current situation as our final destination. As a matter of fact, I'm probably talking to some people who know what it means to struggle with days dripping with disappointments, nights that are nuanced with pain and mired in moments of misery. I believe I'm talking to somebody today who knows what it is to feel that things will never change, never improve, and never get better. You know what it is to be in a circumstance that appears critical, relationships that seem beyond remedy, a situation that seems out of control. Somebody here knows what it is to have lost a job with no replacement on the horizon. You have been the recipient of a dreadful diagnosis, a participant in a relationship shattered beyond reconciliation. I'm preaching to somebody right now in this worship experience who knows what it feels like to be in a context that looks dead. And if by chance, my brothers and sisters, I'm preaching to you here, is my word for you today, your situation is not your destination. And can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? The reason why is the hand of the Lord is on you. You see, this is just a day in your week, a week in your month, a month in your year. In other words, this is not your entire year because the hand of the Lord is still on you. And that is, my brothers and sisters, the proclamation of the prophet in this pericope that I'm preaching today. Ezekiel begins chapter 37 by saying, "The hands of the Lord are up on me." How do you know, Brother Ezekiel? How do you know, Prophet Ezekiel, that the hand of the Lord is up on you? Ezekiel finishes by saying, "I know it because he brought me out." The text says that the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out. Do you know what that tells me, my brothers and sisters? It tells me that we can audaciously announce that the hand of the Lord is on us. And so whenever we can look back over our lives and say that he has brought us out, we can be sure that his hand is on us. He has brought me out. He has brought me out. Tell your neighbor, that speaks to the fact that God is a deliverer. Anybody know he'll deliver you? He brings us out. He brings us over, he brings us through, and periodically we ought to pause in the perimeter of our pilgrimage and remember just how God has brought us out. Because God does not just pacify our pain. He is able and he has the power to literally bring us out of the pain. Oh, I know I ought to have a witness here today. And we need to hear this because even though we are counted among those who are called the faithful, we are not immune to pain. We are not inoculated against disaster and trouble. And we need to hear this because even though we are counted amongst the faithful, amen, we need to understand that in this life, we still have to go through some stuff. Can I tell you, Pastor Garner has had to go through some stuff. But can I tell you why I'm still standing? Can I tell you the reason why we don't resign, the reason why we don't quit, the reason why we don't give up, the reason why we don't surrender or lose our joy or abdicate our authority is because we know, affirm, and believe that God's hand is on our lives, and we know it because when we look back over our lives, we're reminded that the Lord has brought us through. We're reminded that the Lord has brought us out. We're reminded that the Lord has brought us over. We can testify that the valleys were deep. The road was rough. The going was tough. And yes, the hills were hard to climb. We could have lost our mind, but God brought us out. We could have gone stone crazy, but God brought us out. We could have fallen completely apart, but God brought us out. Do I have a witness today? God held us together even when everything else around us was falling apart. And I don't know what your testimony is, but I have been in a lot of situations. And if I can just be honest with you, I don't know where I would be
if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Am I the only one in here that the Lord has ever had to pick up? Am I the only one in here that the Lord has ever had to rescue? Am I the only one in here that the Lord has had to make a way out of no way? If you know he brought you out, if you know he brought you through, then you ought to give him praise in this place. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody sitting next to you right now is trying to hold in their shout because they are a witness that trouble came their way, but they came through trouble. They had to endure heartache and haters. They had to sidestep tragedy. And if they could testify right now, they would testify that they made it out because God had his hands on them and God brought them out. Why don't you encourage your neighbor to never forget the struggles that they've come through? Come on, tell that neighbor, don't ever forget what the Lord has brought you through. Because somebody in here will have to testify that I made it. I made it, that I rose in life not by taking an escalator. I had to take the stairs. Do I have a witness today? Remember, don't ever forget that you had to punch your way through poverty. Don't ever forget that you had to punch your way through prejudice and deal with bills and bias, demons and depression. You had to overcome agony, anguish, and struggle. But do not ever forget that you've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Somebody ought to give God your first praise of the day, because what you came through should have finished you off. What you came through, you shouldn't even be up in here right now. You should be dead and sleeping in your grave. You should have let go. Your feet should have slipped. You should have lost your mind. But the Lord had his hands on you, and you know it because he brought you out. Come on, give him a brought me out praise. Give him a brought me out praise. And so the prophet testifies that he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has his hands on him. Because number one, he brought me out. But not only did God bring him out, secondly, he testifies in the text that God set him down. You see, bringing us out is deliverance, but God sitting us down is discipline. Now, this is where I expected to get quiet, because we don't mind shouting over God's deliverance. But we get quiet when we talk about discipline. The text says that he set me down. He put me down right where he wanted me. Y'all, it's like a parent telling a child to sit down and don't you move until I tell you to. You Bible readers will remember in the 23rd number of Psalms, David says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Anybody in here had that experience? Amen. You wanted to go on doing your own thing, your own way, but the Lord stepped in your bedroom and said, sit down. It's about discipline. And that's where Israel is in our text. God put them where he wanted them. They neglected to live as God instructed them, and their willful neglect brought with it consequences. God permitted their enemies to overrun their territory and overrun their temple, and subsequently their best and their brightest were taken off into captivity, and all that they celebrated and everything that they enjoyed was discarded and destroyed like trash. Now you need to hear me well, because we need to be reminded that sin brings with it consequences. Our young folk need to be taught more and more that sin bears consequences. When we do what we want to do, as opposed to what we should do, there will always be repercussions. Because sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you intended to stay. I know I got some witnesses. There are consequences to sin. They come to us in this life. Tell your neighbor, amen, amen. We ain't talking about hell. We talking about why you here on planet Earth. You got to deal with consequences in this life. Those who abuse themselves or neglect their families, pay a higher premium and a significant price before they die. Y'all, too much fun weakens the body, cripples the mind, shuts off your future. Too much alcohol will mess your liver up. The abuse of drugs debilitates the body and destroys communities. The people of Israel were disgruntled, disjointed, and disturbed as a nation. They had lost all hope because their condition had been critical for some time. Tell your neighbor, for some time. Now listen. It's one thing to have trouble, but it's another thing to have trouble for a long time. It's one thing, Brother Mike, to be broke, but it's something else when you're broke for a long time. It's one thing to be oppressed, but it's another thing to be oppressed for a long time. It's one thing to be unemployed and can't find a job, but it's a whole nother thing when you can't find a job for a long time. It's one thing to have to struggle, but it's something else when you have to struggle for a long time. You see, their pain was extenuating because their pain was extensive. Sometimes you can endure the pain if the pain at least subsides. But like so many people in our world who go to work every day but can't earn a livable wage to support their family, for the children of Israel, despair loomed heavy over their lives. And yet in this text, God interrupts their march to hopelessness and speaks to the prophet and through the prophet with a word about their future. Nudge your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I believe God has a word for your future. Oh my, come on and give him a hand of praise. And here it is. God was determined to deliver them. And so God had to discipline them. And what God did is he called one of them to speak to all of them. He calls the prophet Ezekiel. Now, you Bible readers will understand that Ezekiel was a strange prophet called to enter into exile with a strange word. God charged him and instructed him to instruct them that their captivity and their bondage was not accidental or incidental, but rather it was providential. Now here's a shout. Nothing in your life is accidental, incidental, or coincidental. If you're a child of God, everything that happens in your life is providential. Do you know what that means? That means that God planned it that way. It's providential. Ezekiel was to remind them that things were like they were because they were reaping the harvest of their own choices. And my brothers and sisters, God still in his love, his grace, and his mercy wanted them to understand that even though they felt abandoned, assaulted, and alone, even though they saw no way out, no way over, and no way through, God wanted Ezekiel to remind them that he still had his hands on them. God wanted them to understand that what was coming was different from what had been. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Here it is. The word for you today is that God wants to develop you, and therefore God has to discipline you. And yet the final verdict in our lives is not just a word of punishment, but God told me to give you a word of possibility. I'm talking to somebody here today who's right in the midst of consequences that you know you deserve. You're right living in the midst of consequences because you know you did your own thing, your own way. And yet God sent me by on this Sunday morning to tell you don't have a pity party because he loves you. He will discipline you, but the mercy of God will show up after a while. The writer said, weeping may endure for a night, but tell your neighbor, my joy is coming. Joy will come in the morning. God wants you to know that when he decides to bring you out and when he places you where you need to be, it's not a statement of reprimand. It's a statement of restoration. Come on and thank him and tell him, Lord, I thank you that you're going to restore me. So God promised to restore them. God promised to redeem them. That's God's promise to you and me. God told me to tell you, I have my hands on you. And you know it because, number one, I brought you out. I brought you over. I brought you through. Amen. Even though you've made some mistakes, even though you've made some miscalculations, even though you've made some missteps, even though you've done what you should not have done, lived how you should not have lived, I want you to know through God's word, God told me to tell you that he still loves you and that he's not going to give up on you. He is still committed to you. He will come and see about you because he is not finished with you yet. Somebody ought to praise God and say, I knew God wasn't finished with me. You ought to be able to leave here today with your head held high saying, I knew that God wasn't finished with me. I know my haters tried to make me feel like God had abandoned me, but somebody ought to rejoice right now because even though you're in the fiery furnace of life, you're not in it by yourself. I dare you to take a look around and see that the Lord is in the fire with you. He's in the heartache with you. He's in the trouble with you. Anybody know he'll be in there with you? He brought me out. That's deliverance. He set me down. That's discipline. But then Ezekiel says, he led me around. Tell your neighbor, that's direction. Verse 2 says, he led me back and forth among these dead, dry bones. Notice that God led him into a dead, lifeless situation. Now, this might mess somebody up because we tend to think erroneously that when God is leading us, that everything is supposed to be pleasant and agreeable and rewarding. But this text is tailored to teach us that if you have really been called by God, that if you have really been anointed by God, that sometimes God will lead you into a mess just to show you how he can set you up for a miracle. God led Ezekiel into a dead, lifeless, and chaotic situation. God led him into a situation that tested the limits of his faith, and somebody up in here knows what I'm talking about. You can hardly sit still in your seat because you found yourself in a situation in which you thought there is no way this is ever going to work out. There's no way I'm ever going to get out of debt. There's no way I'm ever going to be happy. There's no way I'm going to ever graduate. There's no way I'll ever get married. There's no way I'll ever lose this weight. There's no way I can ever break out of this addiction or this habit. But God told me to tell you that sometimes when you think you are lost, that's exactly when you're being led. And that ought to be a shouting point, because tell your neighbor that whenever God guides, God provides. Come on, help me preach this thing. Tell that other neighbor that if God brings you to it, oh, baby, he'll bring you through it. Somebody ought to give him praise. Somebody ought to thank him. Because I found out in my own life that God will often lead us into impossible situations for his glory. Because if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. If I never had a test, I would never have had a testimony. If I had never gone through a storm, I would not know how to appreciate shelter over my head. If I never been in a mess, I would not have ever known how God is able to work a miracle. You Bible readers will remember that David says in Psalm 37 and 23, he says that the